Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, folks, this is episode number 241, and this week we have our good friend and longtime listener, Craig Osborne, on the show. How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing good. Say hi to all my brothers from another mother's on the show here.
Right on.
What's up?
Yep. This week we are going to discuss the album On Through the Night by Def Leppard. This year was their 40th anniversary for the release of that. And, of course, before we do that, we'll do our album acquisitions, which our means Dennis's and Bill's because Alan doesn't have any ever.
Yours are all in your mind.
That's right. They're all like on Spotify.
Like if I collect one, I'd collect that one. Shit, right. I dropped my pen.
Oh man,
trouble my pen.
Okay, you go in there. Oh, go ahead, dude.
Oh, I can. Okay, so I went.
Dennis
down
just peeled a sticker off.
Oh, yeah.
Now I got to try to get the fucking gummy shit off. You know where I've been.
Ew.
So I went down today. Actually,
You say gummy?
Gummy part of it. So anyway, sure. I took a bunch of DVDs down to the place that I get my records because they've got a, you know, they buy, sell, and trade. And
that place in my neighborhood?
Yes, book broker. And so I took a bunch of DVDs down to him. He said, yeah, you know, you can do it for store credit. And I gave you a little bit more. And I took a whole bag down. I probably took 50 DVDs. He only took Everybody Loves Raymond. I had three of those seasons and then like four other movies and gave me $17. He said, everything else, I've got like eight copies of each one. So he's like, don't. He said, right now, they're just, I mean, nobody's buying DVDs.
I took some CDs to Joe's Records when they were still in, and he picked out the Vixen CD and he's like, go look in that rack. And there's like 25 Vixen CDs in there. He's like, yeah. I don't want this one.
Right. Wow. So anyway,
just
but
keep
I did
that record for the cover.
So I grabbed two today while I was in there. He was real low on records too. He said, yeah, I haven't been anybody in trading anything. So I did get Michael Schenker Group. Don't even know if there's any good songs on here. I kind of like Michael Schenker. This is a 1980 album too. So,
oh wow.
And it's just self-titled. So
got some ringware.
Little bit and a sticker, so we'll deal with that. And then I did pick up a fairly nice copy of Xanadu.
Oh, that's your favorite record too.
I like Xanadu. I like Olivia Newton-John, little ELO. So anyway, I'm gonna probably listen to that at some point. So, but anyway, they were cheap, $5. You know what the hell? That's all I got this week. Nothing else.
I've been pretty. All right, so I finally had this thing arrive. Oh,
now you got to have a hernia operation.
I'm going to have a hernia operation. So for those who can't see it, it's Garth Brooks Legacy. Mm-hmm. I got it off Amazon. It is 7 LPs and 7 CDs. And it says that, but it's really four records and then a live three, LP set, so it's not really.
So you're getting four
seven
studio
different
releases.
LPs. Okay, you get so four studio releases and the live record. Now, what Bill Elam and I have been we bought these at the same time, and there is like I think there's multiple versions of this
ten
box.
Variations of those.
Yeah, this box set. So I think from what we can figure out is we both have the same version. So we have the New York Yankee. So the live record in here is the New York Yankee Stadium or Yankee Stadium version. But it's cool. You get
what makes them Vince's, different than the 10 ones? It's a different concert.
The live is a different concert. Yeah. So you get No Fences, The Chase, In Pieces, Fresh Horses, and the last one you get is the triple live record. But the other cool thing is it is the way it's packaged. Mm-hmm. There's a really nice poster that's the front of this,
Cool.
It's just freaking huge in here. But the way that I was going to show, I wanted to show you guys this, so I had to dig it out of here. This is the way the live record's packaged. So it says come back.
Right.
But it's packaged in a big tri-fold.
Cool.
Huge thing, which is really cool.
That is cool.
So it's really neat. I haven't listened to it yet. Had some friends over Friday night. We listened to some other music. We didn't listen to Garth Brooks, probably a good thing. But definitely we'll get into that. And the CDs, the live CDs come on this sheet. So it comes on this sheet. So you got 7 LPs and 7 CDs.
So are you getting the same CDs as
the same LPs? CDs. Okay, so there's the CDs for the regular studio releases, and then there's the 3 CDs for the album. So it's $20, man. I mean,
that is cheap. That is super cheap.
Yeah,
so I'm like, that cheap. That's kind of, I guess Garth has got more money.
Bill Elam has Bill has done some research, and I think he's found that that might have been a mistake. It was supposed to be a different price, and it got something happened. I don't know. All I know is I don't care. I got mine, and I ain't taking it back.
So Garth has got quite a bit of money. I don't think he's
Garth has a dollar or two. He can share it. The bad thing about this is I want to keep the plastic because of the hype sticker, but it ain't gonna work because you can't keep it on there.
Just cut the hype sticker off and slip it in with one of your albums.
Well, that thing is tight as it can be.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I got. I think last week I talked about getting the Hair of the Dog record, which I got that, and then I got another record too, but I think I already talked about those other ones, so I got nothing
else.
Have
you listened to your Hair of the Dog?
I have not. I've listened to it on my iPhone
a
number of times, but I have not listened to the actual record yet.
The vinyl sounds really good.
I haven't been home by myself to listen to it appropriately.
Yeah, vinyl. The vinyl sounds really
good. If you know what I mean.
But no, it's well done. It's very well done as far as, you know, the pressing and the recording of it. It sounds good, and it's so.
Oh, some music news we got was Ryan and Phil and Jeremy were doing a show up here in Richmond, Indiana, not far away. It was supposed to be this Friday night, and the show got canceled because of the damn COVID. So canceled something else. So
kind of
that was bad because we were supposed to be going to that show. But thanks for the shout out, Ryan, to let us know that it got canceled. That sucked.
Yeah, he let us hold us up, what, about Monday or was it Sunday?
Yeah, Monday, I think it was. Yeah, Sunday, I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, he emailed
one day this weekend.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling. I mean, I was.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we had planned on going. Kelly said that we, you know, no problem, we could do it. But as you and we talked about last week, I just really, the way things have been going around here, it's, you know, we're back to now very little. Hell, like McDonald's, all the fast foods are back to, you know, the dining rooms are closed again. You know, it sucked.
I found that out when I went to lunch yesterday.
Yeah. Went to McDonald's.
We went out to Buffalo Wild Wings tonight, and it should have just been closed.
Yeah, we went to Ten Fish down here in Newburgh, and actually their dining room was open, so we went to that. But we, Ten like I said, we had
good.
It is good. We went. Yeah,
it's good. I've been there.
We actually was going to go. Like I said, we were going to go tomorrow to Louisville because it's Kelly and I's 31-year anniversary, wedding anniversary, and we were going to go to Louisville. We had a Cheesecake Factory gift certificate that we've had for a while, and we called up there. I said we better call first, and then of course it was. Takeout only, so they've even closed that. They said the mall is open, but you know, of course, they got restrictions. And we said, you know what, let's just stay home. So we're just gonna stay home.
I've got a Showplace Cinemas gift card that I got for Christmas that I still haven't got to use. Thanks, Bill.
It's been a lot of gift cards this year that people have not used. They better hopefully they're gonna use them for next year. We got some for what was it? We got some. Two tickets to, or actually four tickets
Paradise.
To Squire Boone Caverns. Actually, we won them. That would have been good though. But I think they're for next year too. But
Greg, how's things in Michigan?
No, we're hanging, holding our own. But the COVID cases are on the rise again. You know, Governor Whitmer and her group, you know, pretty much trying to shut everything down. There's a few restaurants that are trying to deny the order, and they're staying open and. Cops are showing up, you know, all this crazy stuff.
Deny the order.
Deny
the order. That sounds kind of cool, actually. Write that down.
That's a record. That's a record.
That is. Title. That's a record title.
That's the next Queensryche after Rage for Order. Deny the order.
Yep.
Or unless you have Max Sabbath record it, and then it's Get the Order Wrong.
Yeah. I want to see those guys sometime. I really do.
So do I.
I think that one time.
To me, that's like Steel Panther. I want to see it once, and then I never ever had to see it again.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was good. You saw it with us, yeah.
Right. I saw Steel Panther twice, and I'm good forever. Yeah.
Like,
all right, are you guys ready to get into this review?
Are we doing? What are we doing tonight? We're doing a review, or what are we doing?
Well, we started talking about it stuff earlier, and then I ended up my nose period came. No, we were going to start this at 7, and I'm sitting here all of a sudden.
I've got it. He went on his nostril cycle.
No, I honestly, I get these nosebleeds every once in a while, and it just happened to the.
Thank God it happened before I hit record.
And flowed earlier, and I'm sitting there.
It was
like
very
drip,
heavy
drip,
flow.
Drip. So yeah, I was going to do it with a flow. So I was going to do it with. Oh, it was. It was. So anyway, I had tissue up my nose. So we took about a 15-minute break, and I've been laying on the floor in the living room on my back. And finally, it quit bleeding. So now we're ready to go. So I thought I'd throw it in there for. Just let everybody know.
All right. So this week we are talking about the Def Leppard album, On Through the Night.
Woo.
And now that I've shared that picture, let's stop sharing that picture. All right. Now to the Wikipedia page. Yes. On Through the Night is the debut studio album by English rock band Def Leppard, released on 14 March 1980. And the album was produced by Tom Allom, A-L-L-O-M. Charted number 15 on the UK album chart and number 51 on the Billboard 200. And it features re-recorded versions of the songs Rocks Off and Overture. This album is considered new wave of British heavy metal. And I wish they would call it new wave of British hard rock, because I really don't. I have never, ever considered Def Leppard heavy metal.
No. No. Not at all.
And that's all I have to say about that.
So, trivia question.
Trivia question. Uh-oh.
Tom Allom was the producer of another record that we reviewed not long ago.
Really?
That we were big fans of, and it came out in the same year, 1980.
Really?
What was it?
I don't remember.
I've slept since then.
Nobody? Nobody?
Switches.
Craig's in there cheating. Like, he's like looking shit up. He's like, keep talking.
No, I've got a lot of this written down, but I don't have the. I mean, this guy that Tom, he has done some marvelous work with a bunch of bands, man. I mean, this guy was the man when it come to the British band.
It was a British band, nah. All right, so it was
Priest.
Judas Priest.
Oh, okay. Well, when you said British band, that kind of gave it away.
Yep. Yep. It was Judas Priest. Actually, it was British Steel is the record. So that was the record that we reviewed. So, but he's done, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 Judas Priest records.
Really?
With the last one being Firepower.
They must really like that guy.
Actually, they went away from him on one record and went right back and went, oh, that didn't work.
Was it Turbo? Well,
you know, a lot of bands, I think, do that. You know?
Unfortunately, we can't get that band to get a producer anymore, which would be great.
And for those of you who don't have video, he's pointing to the KISS logo painted onto his wall.
Yeah, that would be good. Anyway, it is what it is.
Self-producing.
Yeah.
So Craig, being our esteemed guest, actually did some research and has some notes and trivia about this. So what you got there, Craig?
Well, pretty much what you guys just went through. You know, I did the Wikipedia search also and just kind of was amazed at the bands that this guy has worked with. You know, the producer there, James. I mean, we're talking Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Crocus, Loverboy, YMT, Kix, Whitford and Holmes, Pat Travers. I mean, this guy's, you know, pretty much done some of the best work with some of the best artists around.
Interesting.
Pretty much that's what, you know, what I got. And I got some side notes as we start running down the song list here.
Well, Let's start the song list. Track number one.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Dennis.
No, I was just going to mention, too, though, does the cover look familiar to something that just came out or is just now coming out here
that
soon?
That Dave Ellis thing?
Have you seen
when that? When I first saw that, I was like, he just stole that.
I mean, he absolutely.
I'm pretty sure that he went through the appropriate channels. And
right. But it's about as close as you can get to looking like this album cover.
Fellas, can y'all take your Photoshop and take your logo out of there and send me the rest of it?
I mean, it's like, did he even change the model or the type of truck? I mean, is it a Kenworth or Peterbilt? Right. Mac, you know. But yeah, funny. I saw that the other day, and I'm like going, damn, he didn't even try it.
I thought it was like a re-release of that or something, because I saw that thing too, and I go, ooh, re-release, check this out.
Well, isn't the name of that album No Cover? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Ripped off anyway. Cover, more like it.
Stolen cover.
So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Track one, side one, Rock Brigade. We're going to start with Craig.
Cool. Yeah, that's I feel that that's a pretty solid opener for the band. I would have put one of the other songs up in front of that, but 3 minutes and 9 second song. And definitely, you know, that one's going to get some airplay because it's a lot shorter than the overture, which probably didn't get any radio play. If it did, it would have been very minimal.
Interesting. One of those deep cut shows at night by some DJ in some small town that nobody gives a shit about.
Yep.
All right, Bill. I'm going to go in the same order every time so I don't get confused like Dennis did last week. Bill's going to be next.
Me, I got confused.
Right, I'm going to preface this with I struggled with this record. I'd not listened to this record. I'd listened to it a long time ago. I listened to it last couple of days multiple times. Not my favorite record. Not my favorite Def Leppard record, obviously. But I don't know that it's anybody's favorite Def Leppard record. I don't know. But and I was really, you know, as I listened to it, I've learned to like. I like the songs. I like the music. I just think it was mixed really bad. So when you look at in my opinion. So when you look at Tom Allum and the other work that he's done, like with Judas Priest and stuff like that, was in the same year. This just, it just seems muddy. And I think it could have been a better record and maybe a little better received had it not been as muddy. That's just my opinion. So just take that for what it's worth. Musically, I think it's great, but the vocals to me seemed just really, I don't know, dumbed down or something. It just doesn't, they don't seem to pop. I guess.
Unpolished.
I don't know. They're just a little weak for me.
They were held when this came out. They were teenagers, weren't they?
Pretty close.
In 80. I mean, they were
probably pretty close.
Look at the back of the album. I mean, they look.
Yeah, no, I'm not. And I'm just saying that that's just, you know, right. for the time that it came out and it being their first record, it wasn't as, I don't know. It just didn't grab me. Anyway.
Yeah, they're clean shaven on there because they hadn't been through puberty yet.
That's probably true. All right, so now I feel like a jackass, so we'll move on.
I thought
Rock Brigade is a pretty good opener. Actually, I would have flipped number one and number two.
Hey, Bill, you stole my line.
Sorry. Yeah, that's what I would have done. I'm not sure that I think it would have been a little bit better punch having that Hello America start the record versus Rock Brigade, but it's not a bad record, not a bad song at all.
Dennis.
Okay, I honestly had never heard this album up until this when we started to I mean, I've heard songs off the album, but to sit down and listen to the album, I just recently got it here. Well, I was probably been 3 or 4 shows ago. I had bought it up at North Park, so I finally got a copy of it. The reason that I remember Rock Brigade, Hello America, Wasted, Rocks Off, a lot of these songs on here is from actually the the docudrama that they did. Remember, was it the VH1 that made that?
Well, that was so. Viva Hysteria or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it was, you know, basically the kind of it's a cheap version of, you know, here's the history of Def Leppard. So of course, you know, they played, you know, Hello America and Rock Brigade and shit. Cause they showed, you know, when they first came over, they showed them, they played those songs a lot. So that's where I remember those songs from. I agree with Bill. I mean, that producer is a great producer and produced a lot of great stuff. To me, this record is very demo sounding. It's like you said, it's quality wise of them. I mean, they're really, really, really good songs, most of them, and they're really rocking. If Mutt Lange would have got a hold of this record, it would have been a major, major hit. These songs would be as good as stuff as on Pyromania and, you know, Hindright, you know, because he would have made those vocals not as tinny, not, I don't want to say tinny, but not where they didn't sound professional. The music would have been there. I mean, the notes are there. It's just the quality of the recording just isn't up to snuff. Like I said, I think with Mutt Lange got a hold of this right at the beginning and whipped them boys into shape earlier, this record would have been huge, you know, and probably put them in the stardom a lot quicker than what they were. But I'm like you too. I think Rock Brigade's a great song. Hello America makes sense to be the lead in song, just like, you know, hey, you know, America, check this shit out, you know. But, you know, they put it out and it wasn't just for America. It was for people all around the world. And, you know, there's some other songs that could have been, you know, I think Wasted's a great song. Rocks Off could have been a great starter. There's a lot of songs on here that could have been a great opener. But, and like I said, I just wish the quality was better. But, you know, there again, it's like some of our, you know, Hotter Than Hell and some of these are, you know, or the first Kiss album. Great tunes. Just, you know, they just don't sound, they're not recorded right.
Well, you know, I think that some of that not recorded right probably is a limitation of what their budget was, which probably was not much of a budget at all, considering it was their first album and they were young and hungry. But, I mean, other than switching the Hello America and Rock Brigade, you know, like Bill said, I don't have anything else to add. But Joe Elliott, if you're listening to this, re-release this album with Hello America first, please.
And fix it.
He's like, get Mutt in there and get that wall of sound, that voice. You know.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about it, too, is the version I listened to was the remastered version. Hmm. So I'm like,
I've got an old one.
That's the remastered version. It's,
well, you know, sometimes those remastered versions
end up coming out worse. Okay.
Because they pull out some of those imperfections that they buried. Mm. You know,
only work with, you know, you can polish a turd, but you can only get to be so good.
Well, I don't know that
the original recordings.
Really turds. Yeah, no,
The original tapes probably aren't much better. I mean, you can't fix it. I mean, it's basically you've got that and they did the best they could with what was, like Alan said, it was probably all about money. You know, it was a shoestring budget. Let's get these boys in, knock his shit out, and get the record out, you know?
Yep.
So, and see what happens. So.
All right, Craig, Hello America, track number two.
I think the song, you know, it rocks pretty good, but it's not my favorite song on the thing by far. I mean, it just sounds kind of cookie cutter to me, but I don't know. I guess it's just a so-so song. You know, one side note that I took off this deal was that the band dropped probably all but one or two of these songs from their set list after 1983. So they weren't that geeked on them either from the sound of it.
Well, look how many bands, you know, did drop songs from their first couple of albums after they got massively successful.
So what are they still playing?
You can look at Aerosmith, and Aerosmith like that too, you know.
Def Leppard doesn't play anything off of the last time I saw them at Rocklahoma.
They didn't play anything off High and Dry, dude.
They didn't play anything off of On Through the Night. High and Dry, I don't remember if they –
they've been recently putting in, though,
Threw Let It Rock back in the set list. That one's on Pyromania, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but they do, you know, Pyromania, they do.
They only do
Photograph and...
Photograph. Fooling.
Fooling, right.
They do the hits off there.
There's the other, there's two Cowbell songs on Pyromania. Rock of Ages, that's the other one. Anyway.
But they do Bringing on the Heartbreak and Switch 625, they've been doing that in the recent shows. So that's off High and Dry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they did that. And
Bringing on Heartbreak was actually toward the end of the show, I believe.
Yeah.
Because Photograph was their ender. That was when we actually walked out as they were playing that.
Anyway. All right, Bill.
Again, I thought this to me is more of an anthem type song. I think it's just because of that beginning. So I would have moved it, but it's a good song. Yeah, good song.
Dennis,
same with me. We've already talked about it, and good song.
Hello America is my favorite song off the album, and I think it should be the album opener if you haven't figured that out yet.
Really? You don't say? I never thought about that. That's interesting.
All right. Track number three, Sorrow is a Woman.
Okay.
Craig's like, is that one on this album?
Well, your list is a little skewed from mine. I mean, we were going good, and then...
I'm just reading straight off the Wikipedia.
That last one kind of went awry. Right. I think it's a good song. You're froze up, buddy.
Oh, we can still hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you. Video's frozen.
Craig, can you still hear us?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. We just can't. Your video.
You're froze up.
You're froze up.
So we can still hear you.
No, you're froze up.
I know you are, but what am I?
I'm frozen up. You frozen up. Frozen.
Keep saying frozen. We're gonna have to pay Disney some kind of.
There he is. He's back.
I'm not. I am not editing this out either.
No, it's fine.
It froze up.
Come on, Elsa.
You were frozen up, and we can hear you talking, but I don't think you can hear us talking. When you were saying you're frozen up, I'll be like, I know you are, but what am I? All right, Craig, Sorrow is a Woman.
I like the song. I think it's a good song. To me, it sounds a lot like Lynyrd Skynyrd when they first get going on it. But, you know, I think it's a good tune. It's solid tune. That's what I got on that one.
Bill.
I think we start running into this little thing where the songs start all kind of sounding very similar to each other, in my opinion, for the next couple of songs. It's like, okay, they begin very similarly with a guitar kind of riff at the beginning, and then it's just weird. It's like they just kind of – they took the formula and went, oh, we just need to make another one of those and just change this a little bit. And this was the first one of that. Not a bad song, but just like I said, it's I guess it's not a guitar riff that starts, it's the drum riff drumming that starts in all those songs in the next few. So not a bad song, but not my favorite.
Dennis.
Okay. I want to agree real quick with Craig on something about this. This album has a lot of that Skynyrd-y kind of guitar work on a lot of these songs. I know, like on Rocks Off and everything, you get these double guitar lead-ins and guitar, and you know they did very well at that. You know, Steve and Pete, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they were. Yeah, you know, they were both really good guitar players, and you know they accented a lot of these songs. Getting back to Sorrow as a Woman, this song really bothers me a lot because I know what they were trying for. They were trying for that fooling. You know, let's start it out slow, let's build it up, and let's just, you know, bring it in kind of almost like a power ballad into, you know, a rock song. But it's really, to me, it's fucked up because it starts out really, you know what I'm saying? It starts out this real soft everything, and then it just, I mean, just absolutely just kicks in, but it never goes back. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like two different songs kind of melded right there at the beginning. I don't know. It just doesn't fit. I know what they were trying to do, and nice attempt, boys, but it just didn't, for me, it didn't work. I mean, is it a horrible song? No, but it just, I don't know. There's something really bugs me about that song. It don't gel with me for some reason.
You know what it is? It's all the time changes in it. That's what it is.
Maybe. I don't know. And it just goes from, like, you know, you're going from, you know, sitting at a stoplight to going 100 mile an hour, you know, and it just, there's no, I don't, it just, I don't know. The formula doesn't work for me.
It doesn't flow.
It's like, damn it, I can't count.
Not like my nose. It doesn't flow like my nose.
Don't flow like your nose.
Oh.
One and two and seven, eight, nine, two.
Yeah.
Seven, eight, nine, seven. Two in the front.
That was pretty good, Bill.
I know. I know a little bit about music.
Well, the only note that I made about this song was, I like the bass line.
Says the bass player.
Says the bass player. Well, you will notice that in a, later on in the Def Leppard catalog, there's a lot of single note, eighth note songs in those Def Leppard songs, and that gets old, you know. And that's coming from a lazy bass player saying that.
not a lot of runs, is that what you're saying?
Not a lot of runs, yeah. But yeah, that song, I did, you know, it does have a couple of different little bass riffs that I kind of dig.
Cool.
So up next, It Could Be You. It Could Be You. It Could Be You. Craig.
Yeah, I think it's a good song. Like we all keep saying, these songs, they kind of all seem to run together. They just, it's, you know, it's like, next thing you know, it's like, hey, that's just a little bit different than the other song, but not enough to where you say, man, that's awesome. I love that song. But yeah, it's all right. It's actually the shortest song on the album at 2:34. So, I mean, that one's damn near too short for radio, isn't it?
Just about, yeah.
It's almost a Ramon song.
Or a Van Halen song.
Or Van Halen. an early Note Van Halen to self. Song. Next time you invite somebody to be on the show, listen to all the albums before you give them the list.
Yeah.
Edit list accordingly.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, what's up with you?
We're on It Could Be You, right?
Right. It Could Be You.
Yeah. So I think, Craig, I know the difference between the two songs, and it's the black part that ends one song and starts another. That's the only difference. there's a break.
There's a pause.
Because then you go.
They're good songs. Don't get me wrong.
They're not bad songs. It's just the formula. They got the formula down. Like, we're gonna wear this shit out for 35 minutes, man. We are gonna wear it out. But it's not a bad song. It just, but again, I think this is one of the songs too that I thought the vocals were not as strong in this song. I mean, I don't think you could hear the vocals as well in this song as you could some of the others. I think it's just muddier for some reason. I don't know. I mean, it's a production thing, so I'm not sure why. But no fault of the song. But like I said, I grew to like this record a little bit more as I listened to it for over the few days. But, you know, I talk about the muddy part, and it's kind of funny because my son, who listens to some of the same music I do, but not a lot, I'm listening to it in the stereo, and he goes, what is wrong with that song? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, there's no vocals. I'm like, well, there are. You just can't hear them very well. And so as somebody that doesn't have a lot of, you know, background with that, kind of picked up on it. So he kind of got it. So. It's just interesting that you have somebody that notices that stuff. I feel like we're bitching about this record that we chose to review. So I feel bad about that. I'll quit doing that now.
Dennis.
All right. I like the song. I mean, there's a lot of great guitar work in this song. And you know, of course it starts out again, it's going to be a little slow there at the beginning, and then it kicks in. And of course you get the double guitars coming in. And, there's not a lot, like I said, there's not a lot of structure to the vocals on this. There, it's just kind of he just kind of goes, doing that shit. But, you know, but then when the guitar breaks come in there and they're doing all their solos, extended kind of back and forth, great stuff. And like I said, they were both fantastic guitar players. So for me being a guitar player, I like the song, but yeah, there's not a whole lot to it. It's just a guitar driven song. Alan.
My favorite part about it was the echo effect when they would sing the chorus.
That was very funny.
Hey, Bill. That's
your favorite part of it.
Yeah. Hey, Bill.
I like the echo.
That's your favorite part of it. That is hilarious.
So it seems to me like there's another song further down the list that I'm going to say the same thing about. Actually, overall, I do. This album doesn't bother me. But what's next on the list? Oh, yeah. Satellite, Craig.
Satellite, you know. God, we just keep beating this dead horse on the ground. I feel bad. I just hope that, like, Joe Elliott ain't listening to this thinking, God dang, man, we really shot ourselves in the foot with that one.
Hey, Craig, I think you can rest assured that Joe Elliott's not listening to this.
He was going to come on the show.
He was going to come on the show. We had him booked for next week, but now you've totally ruined it. So thanks a lot, man. Appreciate that.
And that on Satellite, that's the one we're on, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you first put it on and you hear the guitars take off right away, this thing sounds a lot like Me and My Wine, Def Leppard song. If you turn it right on and you go, God dang, that sounds like Me and My Wine. I'm like, God dang, these songs freaking all gel together. So that's what I got on that one. I think, in my opinion, this album, you know what it sounds? It sounds compressed. I think that's the word I'm looking for. It sounds real compressed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm no audio sound guy. Alan could tell me better than probably anybody, but it just sounds compressed to me.
That's probably the right term. It's just not a big, it just doesn't feel like a big record. And to your point, I wonder if it would have been, because we've talked about they're not bad songs, and they're Def Leppard songs. They sound like Def Leppard songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if the record was remade in sometime in 1987 or whatever, would it have been different? I mean, would it have sound the same songs, just would they have sounded better and it would have gotten more traction? And I
maybe,
I don't know. I don't think they're horrible songs. I just think that there's something with the mix. And I think if you would have had Mutt
on this album doing his knob, you know, what he does to make Def Leppard sound really good, this album would have been a lot bigger. I'll say, I said that from the very beginning. So yeah, I think it would be, you know. Now, Rick Allen, when did he have his accident? What year was that?
It was between Pyromania and Hysteria.
Okay. So, drums would have sounded different.
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
I think that I know there was a 4-year span between the albums, right. But I'm not sure. And of course, I could just flip over and click on Rick Allen's name on the Wikipedia page.
Well, you look at the videos from Pyromania. I mean, he was, you know, he had two arms. So, right. I mean, it would indicate something right there.
Kind of gives it away.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Well, I really don't have anything to add to Satellite except it's the worst of the two outer space related songs Def Leppard recorded.
Ooh, we got to it.
Oh, I didn't even say nothing yet. Oh, shit. I didn't even say nothing about Satellite yet.
Good.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I did.
Well, you were talking. We assumed that you were.
Oh.
And, did you hear that?
Yeah, what was that?
What was that?
That was the gate that I put up so the dogs don't get in here that one of the dogs knocked over.
it's. And like you said, just real quick on that, Adam Satellite, it's they're using the same formula. You know, it sounds like a lot of the other stuff. Nothing spectacular to me. I don't. It's just okay.
All right. Well, next up, we've got when the last song on side one, When the Walls Came Tumbling Down, not John Cougar Mellencamp or Johnny Cougar or whatever. Craig.
Yeah, it starts out kind of slow, you know. It's that same formula we talk about. It starts out kind of slow and then takes off like a damn striped ass ape, you know. turn that bling down at the end, you know. I mean, it's 100 miles an hour, man. That's, you know, same formula they've been using.
Well, they kind of suck you in a little bit, you know. Oh, this is going to be a ballad. Oh, no.
for all you guys that want to dance with your significant other, we got a little ballad here for you. And then, you know, if you got a headbanging chick, we got
about 20 seconds. for about 20 seconds, and then it's on.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Well, isn't that about how long foreplay lasts?
Yeah. No.
No.
Not if you're doing it right.
Dang it. I don't learn something from this show today. I've been doing it wrong all these years.
Yeah, if this is where you're coming for that advice, it's the wrong show, buddy.
Like Dr. Ruth?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to go there.
Yeah. All right, Bill, you're up next.
You know, I don't know what else to say. I really did get sucked in. I mean, at first it was like, oh, that's a Def Leppard ballad that just went crazy. That's exactly what I thought. I was listening to it. I'm like, oh, a ballad? And they're like, oh, shit. they went, nah, not doing a ballad. Nah, not going to do it. Yeah. So
we're going to hold off on them ballads for another album or two.
For another couple albums, and then we're going to sell the living shit out of them, which is exactly what happened. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
All right, Dennis.
All right, so this is funny. This song, it just, I don't know why it reminds me of this, but you know how it starts out? It's kind of got that, and then, you know, of course you got, you know, Joe's talking through the very beginning of it.
Not Joe.
It's not Joe. Oh, is it?
Producer. Yeah.
But only thing I can think of is this whole time is the Spinal Tap song when they're talking about the Druids. Have you ever seen that? Before time, you know, the Druids. And that's when God damn it. The little guys and the flutes come out, and Stonehenge. It's the song Stonehenge, and the little 12-inch Stonehenge comes down. That's all I can think about at the very beginning of this song. I don't know where they were going with this. I don't know what they were. I know they were trying to get some kind of, I don't know, Iron Maiden-ish kind of shit going on. I don't know. I really don't know what they were trying to do, but it's kind of odd, and it's the end of that side of the album, so it's kind of ends the album, that side, kind of weird, but anyway.
Yeah, that was, excuse me, that was Dave Cousins from the most active songwriter of Straubs, Strawbs. That's the guy that did that.
I saw that on something, and I was like, I didn't understand what that meant. I guess when I was doing a little research too, and I didn't know what Straubs was.
Let's click on the link.
Yeah. I was like, well, I don't know what the hell that is.
English rock band founded in 1964 as the Strawberry Hill Boys.
Straubs sounds like someplace I put my money.
Started out as a bluegrass group, but moved to folk and progressive rock and briefly glam rock. So there's that information. And that's really all I have to say about that song, because I didn't care much for it.
All righty then.
So let's move to song number one, side number two, Wasted.
I'd say by far this is my favorite song on the album myself. They did a Joe Elliott did an interview, and they talked about recording this song, and they said that, of course, Steve Clark was late. Because I guess he was always late showing up for practices and whatnot, and they were ready to about give him the boot. And he come in and he says, "Hold on, guys, I got something I got to play you." And he played the riff, the Wasted, and they said, "Well, hey, I guess he can stay."
The one.
I think that should
grace.
Have been in my mind. I think that should have been the opening track in my mind, because that's the song I like the best on the album.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's the my favorite track on the record. I don't know if number one. I just like I think the Hello America thing for me. This just the anthem piece of that really kind of got people would get your attention as opening track. But Wasted would not have been a bad track. So you know, you could have used Wasted as the opening track, and you could have used Hello America on the B side as the opener. You could have done that as well, but yeah, I think the best song on there. I think it's the best constructed. It doesn't seem to like just be this droning thing that sounds like everything else. It does sound a little bit different. So I guess Steve Clark should stay.
Yeah, I think. Dennis. I think Steve hit it out of the park. This is my favorite song also off the album. I think it's just a well done song. Like Bill said, it's not that cookie cutter thing that they've been doing most of the whole first side of the album. Just a great tune and a great way to start second side of the album. So
Wasted is my second favorite song on this album. If they had started side one with Wasted, side two with Hello America, I agree with Bill, that would have been great. If they had started side one with Hello America and side two with Wasted, I'd have been okay with that. But what do I know? I'm just a little hillbilly that lives in Indiana now. All right, next up, we've got Rocks Off.
Yeah. I like the guitar work in it. I think the guitar work sounds great in it. It's got a good riff to it, you know. That one probably got some radio play, you know, as far as I can tell. That was only 343 on that one. Don't you guys think though, when you listen to this, and it could be the way it's recorded, and it could be Joe Elliott's age, but he sounds so young on this album. I mean, he was
like
just younger than dirt, you know, just crazy. He was young.
But I think to your point though, it makes it, I wonder if that's part of the problem with the vocals is it's not in, but I think it goes back to production. Like you were talking about,
because his balls hasn't dropped yet.
it doesn't feel like there's any power to the vocals. They're just kind of going through it, not really singing it.
Or is it that we're so used to Joe Elliott from, say, Pyromania on? I mean, because that's my wheelhouse. That's where I'm at, you know.
Sure. Yeah, it's always easier to look back and see where the thing – but to your point, I think you're right. I mean, something happened somewhere. Maybe his balls dropped, like Dennis said. But, you know, and it was production, right? It was somebody going, hey, go do that again because you're half-assing it, quit. That's right. Probably not those kind words either.
No, that was probably those were the exact words.
Yeah, might have been.
Well, that's what Mutt Lang got out of him.
Yeah.
He got that out of him. You know, they bitched about recording Pyromania and whatnot, saying that they had to do so many takes, you know, do it over, at least according to that video documentary movie deal that we all watched. That's what basically they were saying in that. So.
Or as Joe calls him, Moot.
Moot.
Moot. Moot. I married a good-looking girl, I can tell you that. Oh, Shania Twain.
For a while, they're divorced now.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've been divorced for a few years.
Yeah, quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
Well, there's hope for you, Alan.
No. Hey, she's it's all right.
Look at Bill, he's all about this. He's like, yeah. Fresh meat on the market.
Yeah, that's it. I gave my 2 cents with him, so.
All right, I've gotten lost. Who's next?
Rocks Off. Bill, you've already talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this song, great guitar song. His vocals are completely drowned out in it. Like you said, this is a prime example of that. And he really doesn't sing that much. You know, the rest of it's just guitar riffs and riffs and riffs and then more riffs and then a solo and then some more riffs. But whenever he does sing, it's just so meddled into the song that you can't really even tell if there's somebody singing. And I was going to bring up that fact. I think I don't know how accurate that docudrama was, but that was one thing that was very prominent on that. It was the fact that, you know, he was really shy at the very beginning, and it was from being young and experienced. And I mean, he wasn't even a singer. Wasn't he like a truck driver or some kind of shit before he got into this? And he just kind of found him and he's like, oh, I can sing. And he came over and started singing, and that's how it. But anyway, if I remember right, somebody may correct me on that, but I do remember the fact of is that, you know, Mutt really drove him hard, you know, and probably called him a pussy a couple times, and, you know, and got him in there. And I remember one part of that show where, you know, he says, I'm not sounding right. And then Mutt played back what he had done, you know, with adding a little bit and a couple other dubs on it. And he was like, holy shit, who's that? You know, that's you, Joe. You know, you can sound like that. So I think that, you know, that Mutt gave him that confidence and, you know, made him a better singer. And I wish he was on this song because you would have actually been able to hear him at that point. But, you know, being a guitar player, this is a great jam song. I like to hear the you know, the two guys playing guitar throughout the song. But yeah, it's not good for vocal wise, but it's a decent. I like the tune.
And I believe this is the other song that I talked about that had the vocal echo.
Yep.
And that's all I got to say about that. So it don't matter what I got to say. Oh, maybe It Don't Matter was the one that had the echo. I don't remember because I've only listened to this album a few times in my life. And this morning was one of those times. So what you got, Craig?
Which one are we on?
It don't matter.
It don't matter.
It don't matter which one we're on.
This song really didn't matter to me at all because it's kind of a throwaway song for me. I'm like, eh, you know. Let's see if I wrote anything down for this one. No, I literally wrote on the bottom, this song doesn't matter to me. Sorry, guys. Drop the ball on that one.
Well, at least you're honest about it. Yeah, I like this song. It's a great song. Can't stand this song. you know, I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I started the just let's say we finished this record when we got to this song. After Rocks Off, which just kind of I just started disengaging, to be honest. So I'm gonna just say that it. You know, if there'd have been maybe 7 songs on this record, that'd been good.
5?
5? I don't know. Jeez. It's like what other records and catalogs do we have that we can destroy?
All right, Dennis, what? How can you just shit on this album even more?
Well, it don't matter. It's filler. It's basically a filler song. There's nothing that's spectacular about it. Is it horrible? No.
Yes.
It's just no, it's not horrible. It's just forgetful. I mean, there's nothing there. Again, it's another cookie cutter. Let's start out with a little bit, you know, a little bit of guitar work, and then we're going to work in this, and then we're going to sing a couple, you know, it doesn't go anywhere. And it's a mid to the end of the album, mid filler song. That's all I'm gonna say.
You know with this record though, it's interesting because when you look back and you look at where Def Leppard came, you know, is now, or you know, or was, you know, in the 80s, a lot of we haven't went back and looked at a lot of bands that and reviewed their very first record. I mean, that's not been the case for 40 years. I mean, no.
That would happen to a lot of bands if we did that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my point. I mean, I think that we're, you know, this is one of the first ones, if not the first one we did, that the 40-year record is their debut record. I think that biases, I think, it a little bit and to a degree. But, you know, because some of the other 40-year stuff, I mean, so we did oh, crap. The Judas Priest record that has suddenly escaped me that we did was 40 years. What did I just say? I said it. Yeah, you're muted. So I got nothing.
Like, British Steel.
That wasn't their debut record. And it was a great record. So it's, right. You know, it's, but if you go back and you listen to the first Judas Priest record, it's kind of like,
it's different. It's not Priest. I mean,
it's not the same. So I think that's,
yeah, I think we're being,
we're trying to, I think part of that is mentally we're trying to compare it to what we know today and
right.
And maybe being a little bit unfair. So I don't want people thinking we're just bitching at Def Leppard.
No, I like Def Leppard, and I think they've done some great stuff. And there's some great tunes on this album.
In case Joe wants to come on the show, I'm trying to save face.
No, it ain't happening.
That's going to do it right there.
Well, there's nothing I can add. I kind of agree with the rest of you. This song is all filler, no killer.
Yep.
So the next track is Answer to the Master. Do you have anything to add to that, Craig?
No, here we go again with this filler song. it's drony, real drony. Just, repetitive drone.
Oh, sorry.
It's drony, real drony. Dennis.
You talking Dennis, to me? I'm sorry.
Dennis muted his mic because he just didn't want to say anything else bad.
No.
He feels bad.
No, I just.
You got to keep up with the theme, man. We could have done a.
It's nothing that I can. Nothing that I can go. I can't work with this song. I got nothing. It doesn't matter.
I'll be honest. When I listened to it this morning, I don't even remember the song. So I guess that.
That makes a good of impression on you.
I guess so. It's pretty forgettable. Sorry, Joe. Yeah. And the final track is coming in at 7:44, the Overture, or just plain old Overture.
Well, this one here, I actually like the song. I don't mind this song at all. I think it's pretty decent. But again, it starts out slow and then kind of takes you on a trip, you know, and I like it. I don't mind this one.
Is it an instrumental? I have already forgotten this song as well.
No, it's got vocals in it. Yeah, it has vocals in it.
Couldn't remember. Yep.
Yeah, I expected it to not have vocals in it because of it being called Overture.
And the length of it.
I was expecting like...
It had more girth 40, than you were expecting.
45 seconds, and it was probably 7 minutes too long.
7:44.
There you go. See, I was so close.
I don't know if they were trying to be... Like trying to pull a Sticks or a Kansas or, you know what I'm saying? They were trying to do a Rush. That's where I get a kind of that kind of vibe from this song. It's a little bit, like you said, it's kind of a journey and it's got this beginning and the middle and it, you know, but why put that on there when you got wasted and, you know, rocks off and then you're trying to be, I don't know what they were. I would have liked to know what they were. I don't know if they were just trying to throw everything but the kitchen sink on this album to see what was going to fly. You know, and it may be, you know, I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if this was, I'd be curious to ask Joe or one of the guys, you know, in this album, why did you bring this song in? It's just, it's different and it doesn't really fit the album, to be honest. I wonder if this is, you know, is this something that you started out with early and this is kind of the way you went and then you started writing this other stuff? Or is this something you come in later and we go, hey, let's try this at the end? You know, I don't know.
Interesting. I would think it's perfectly placed. Would we all agree with that?
Yeah. Yep. In the album, it's kind of take us out. Yeah, I agree.
Over.
Well, I will kind of leave us with this. The album received mostly positive reviews. AllMusic's Steve Huey says that it established the band as the leading highlight of the new wave of British heavy metal. It got good praise from Canadian journalist Martin Popoff, Dave Fricky from Rolling Stones. Well, the Canadian, that's funny. But Dave Fricky reviewed it favorably, you know. So what do we know? We're just four, you know, schlubs 40 years later slagging on this album that was really good in 1980.
Right.
But, well, somebody loved it a lot because the thing went platinum and it went gold, so somebody loved it.
Right. When did it go platinum and gold, though? Do you know, Craig? Does it say? I mean, did it go gold in 1997?
It wasn't. It was pretty close after the release of it. It was like within like 2 years of the release of it.
Okay, cool.
And then it went platinum like 5 years after.
I'm sure it was after Pyromania or one of those, and then people went back and started buying their old catalog.
It went platinum in 1989.
Okay,
yeah. So that doesn't surprise me.
I don't see where it went gold, but yeah, it went platinum back then.
I would say that.
Now, the funny thing is in 1989 when it went platinum, I wonder how many people bought it thinking they were going to get something that sounded like Hysteria.
Oh, everybody.
Right. They were sadly mistaken.
Yes.
They're like, wait, this is one song.
I'm going to pull something back from way back when in our early days. Is this album a Yank It or a Crank It?
Oh, wow.
That just popped into my head. I got to do it for
it did. Time. That's awesome, man. We haven't done that forever.
I'd crank it. And will I make it all the way through? Don't know about that.
Yeah, that's what she said. Okay.
There's very few albums. I mean, we've talked about a few here in the last few weeks that we would, but there's some shit on every album. I mean, there's a shitter here and there. And this album's got, I mean, 4 or 5 really good songs on it. That's not bad. I bought albums for one song.
Oh, yeah, we all have.
So, I mean, it's just, would I listen to it every day or just jamming it on my car every day? No, but I'd pull it out every once in a while and you know, listen to it, you know, and then put it back in the sleeve. Leave it in there for about a year.
There you go.
He'd go tie one on one night.
You want to? Can I mention something here? It has nothing to do with Def Leppard, but it was one of those other kind of these aha moments that I've never noticed it this till recently, just like yesterday.
What's that?
So I'm looking at albums, and I was putting away my albums the other day, and I was looking at I just watched actually a documentary on YouTube about Keith Moon talking about his last 24, and it was talking about, and they had all of his other about, you know, his stuff he did in his life, and you know, Moon the Loon, you know, he was a fucking crazy, that dude was nuts.
He's insane. That dude was off, man.
So anyway, I'm putting up my Who albums and I'm looking at Who's Next, and I'm looking at the album and I'm like going, what's Keith doing over there? And it's like, fuck, he's pulling his, he's playing with his zipper. And then I look, hey, Roger Daltrey's messing with his buckle, and then you look at the big, like, big concrete thing behind him. There's 4 piss stains on there. They had just all took a piss on this big rock. They never noticed that in my lifetime. Look at the album.
Talking about a hard left turn.
I was looking at it going, oh my god, they just pissed on that rock. That's like I've well, never you know, noticed that.
We pissed all over this album, so I guess there's really comparison here.
That sounds like a good note to leave this on. Check us out on agesofrock.com. Find our social media, past episodes and everything. And Craig, thank you for coming on the show.
No. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, people. Let me find that stop button. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.